Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
And welcome, welcome, welcome. As G-Ski loves to say, it is on and popping. This is Dave. We are, we're doing the Dave and G-Ski Show. You want to give us a call? Of course, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. The call-in number, once again, is 516-387-1705. We got a great, great show for you. We got a great, great show for you. Which obviously means I have no idea what kind of a show it's going to be, but I do have faith. So that's how that works. let me see here. Let me find this other email that I had that will get me an invite to the show where I can see the chat room. I'm going to try and listen now. I have to open two different browsers to get this show going. And let's see here. Start, sign in, log in. Let's log in. And so the deal with G-Ski is, and I guessed it, I guessed it 100%. His microphone isn't working right now. He can hear everything I'm saying, so I can crack on him all I want, and he can't defend himself. So I said, okay, so he texted me and said, I can hear you, but my microphone's not working. I was like, well, you might have to call in. That's why I gave out the call-in number real slow. But and I told him, I said, in my head, I'm picturing that you're all jabbed up with your needles and you can't break away to plug in your to find out what's going on with your microphone cords. And he said, you're exactly right. Which is also, by the way, why he is so popular with people, because he tells them all the time that you are absolutely right. And who doesn't like to hear that? So, we love you. I'm working it. He's probably got the chat room. There we go. And Sue's in the chat room. And G-Ski Rocks. Hi, Sue. Long time. No talk to. You have no sound on your phone. Yikes. So, yeah, we got a great, great, great show for you. We got a lot to talk about. There's, you know, probably the biggest thing I was following, and the only place I could get anything of it was on TikTok. Because it wasn't at any of the regular places that I go or that I listen to or anything. And it was the Mike Lindell, the symposium that he did, I forgot what it was called, where for 3 days they ran through every jot and tittle of the election and all of the ballot discrepancies they found, all of the and get this, election night discrepancies that they found. I don't know how many montages I saw on TikTok where they were saying, well, it's 10 o'clock and they have stopped counting in such and such a county, and they'd be like one after the other after the other after the other, everybody stopped counting at 10 o'clock because he broke their algorithm. I still believe that's what happened. I maintain last time at the 2016 election, Hillary was very competent. Now, I'll be the first woman president, whatever. So he got so popular, and even during the campaigns, he started calling out the media, saying, "You're not showing the size of these rallies. You're not showing the size of these campaign appearances." He says, "I dare you to," you know, and they wouldn't pan out. They're only ever using the tight in shot of just him, when, you know, there was tens of thousands of people in that one area, and if the media showed, you know, not just one, if they showed just one, if they showed two or three of his rallies with that many people there, people would start to really look at him differently. But they couldn't, because they knew they were going to frame him and gaslight him and just oppose and obstruct and just try to ride out his presidency, and unless they can get rid of him through impeachment first, which was stupid. That's how he got elected. He broke their algorithm. He broke it with the votes that he got. I contend that there was a huge level of cheating, not by Trump, but by the Democrat side. Huge level of cheating for ballots and votes, whatever degree they could. They didn't have the mail-ins back then, but you know, there was absentees that they get to count after the fact and stuff like that. So I think they said to themselves, "Well, no way we can let this happen again." So they tweaked their algorithms, and then they had COVID. Then they brought in the COVID thing. Basically, it's a cold, and people who are I'm not saying it's not real. I'm saying that for most of the people that got COVID, they got over it. It was a cold. It's a coronavirus. It's a cold virus. So they blew that out of proportion. And last week, I think I found, I can't find it now, they must have taken it down, the Minister of Health here talking about how they recorded COVID deaths, and the way they did it, it really spiked the amount of COVID deaths. You know, if you got in a car accident and happened to have COVID, it got into that category. You know, so there was like, it was way out of proportion. But it was designed, it was done that way on purpose. So after that, they had to keep that going, and then bring in the mail-in ballots. And that's where they had to do so much of the cheating, in my opinion, that they exposed themselves with the amount of ballots that they counted. Not only were they counting ballots that were not legitimate according to state laws, and the state legislatures were the ones that are supposed to make those laws, the secretaries of state and governors sometimes teamed up and just changed the laws so that they can count more ballots coming in after the fact, coming in without a postmark, coming in, you know, without a reason, coming in, you know, whatever all the things were, to the degree that in Arizona there were apparently reams of unfolded mail-in ballots. Now, how the hell can you get that? How can you get that? They've been filled in with computers, because no one can make such a perfect oval. So they filled those in, and I think that like I said, they just didn't cheat quite enough. They were a little conservative with their cheating in 2016. They pooped it on pretty thick in 2020 just to make sure. And then to add on top of that, they knew that they had the media. And because the media is the only entity that would expose this, because the if there were judges and lawyers and people bringing lawsuits and lawsuits were being listened to and heard and looked at and all that, well, the media would just terrorize these people. They would set them up. They would smash them down. They would ridicule. And, you know, nobody really wants that. So they kind of stayed away from it. That's what happened. They got intimidated by the media and what they can do. So that's how it got through. And all they had to do was put off looking at any of this stuff until they got a president inaugurated. So they just stalled and put it off, and it whistled past the graveyard, so to speak. This symposium that Mike Lindell had, and the pieces that I saw, I mean, every one of those pieces is damning. And if they had in, let's say in 2016 or 2016, 17, 18 or 19, all throughout the Trump presidency, if they had any one of those items that they have on against the Democrats cheating, any one of those items would have been enough for impeachment, would have been enough for, you know, it just would have ended his presidency, because they would have pounced on it and they would have gone all the way to drive him out. They would have just driven him mad. So that's what I think is going on or went on. And I think I don't know what happens now. So at least there is, I think it's frankspeech.com or something like that. He was Mike Lindell, who's doing his symposium on the election, you know, the audits and the frauds and the, you know, he had all kinds of people in there, expert people that were in there. And it, you know, not necessarily Trumpers, but when they looked at those numbers, they're like, this, I can match this line to that line. I can match this ratio to the ratio in that state. I can match all these five states have the same ratio, and that tells them right there that that's nothing that happens without an algorithm. It looks, to the untrained eye, it looks, well, yeah, I guess so. But until you start comparing the state by state on, you know, this particular line, this timeline, this vote amount, where you can set a limit, and what will be counted is it was described by one lady as like cruise control on your car. Okay. So you get to the speed, you've set the thing, you end up slowing down, you can hit resume. Well, once you hit resume, it slowly increases back up to where you have set it, and then it stops there. So what they set was, you know, a few percent above whatever the other guy got. And what that led to, and they found out not only that, that the algorithm was the counting algorithm was doing things like that, they now have more counted ballots than were actually legitimately sent out. I think that was in the Arizona one. So I mean, how do you explain that? Well, we don't care, I guess. You know, I don't know what to do about that. And I don't know who's going to be able to do anything about it with the Democrats in charge of the law enforcement agency. And they're more concerned with Marxism and getting people to turn on each other, which is another thing. Maybe if I remember, I'll get back to that. So, like I said, I'm still waiting for G-Ski. I don't know if he saw any of this stuff on the Mike Lindell. I think he had it in, like, Idaho. And he was streaming it, live streaming it. And they had, you know, one guest after another. And, you know, there were a number of times where his stream got cut without explanation. His stream just got cut. So somebody hacked in as a matter of fact, on one night, according to him, he got beat up on the way back to his hotel. So they're out there. Anyways, G-Ski, send me a text. See what's going on. Type in the chat room. Do your thing. Dial in. Oh, I know what. G-Ski, call-in number is 516-387-1705. Love to hear from you, big boy. Let's go. Do it up. Need to borrow my phone? Well, we got a great, great, great show. Great, 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 great show. That was one of the things that I wanted to talk about. And then, you know, maybe I can put some, throw some sound on if I find a couple of TikToks. But I need I'll need a break to search through them and find ones that would be relevant. So I'm trying to think if there was anything else. That I wanted to talk about regarding the symposium. And running it back through. I mean, they got real deep into that stuff. And like I said, they dissected every jot and tittle of that whole election, every single piece. And they covered it in excruciating detail at this symposium for 3 days. For 3 days, they did that. He's Mike Lindell, you know, you can say what you want about the guy. Maybe he's just trying to sell more MyPillows. I kind of don't think he cares about that right now. I kind of think he thinks that, he's got a few million dollars and the best way to use that is to try to get the country saved and, you know, get it unstolen. And, you know, just to prove to somebody willing to listen that there's enough proof to show that, that it was stolen, you know. And then after you do that, well, there's going to be people going to jail. There's going to be people, I mean, there better be, you know, there's going to be impeachments. There's going to be arrests made. You know, the corruption is just rampant, and it's hard to stomach once you peel back a layer or two of the onion. So, what's up with that? All right, so apparently he'll be with us in a few minutes. I hope he didn't have to break short his session. Maybe he did, but maybe he can get back on after he fixes what he needs to fix. Let me go to. Let me see here. All right, that one doesn't need to be that big, so I can scrunch that down. Okay, so I have some new. You know, every. Time I get to do what I want on this show, I try to be constructive with it. Oh, okay, cool. So I try to be constructive with it, and I always like to talk about when you're talking with progressives, they have an entirely different reality. Because they watch you know, they watch the news. And I had to yell at my buddy. I was like, all right, I've had enough of this. Just saying the word Fox News, you know, just because I saw it on Fox News or something like that. And I was like, you know what? I've had about enough of that. That is just your go-to knee-jerk thing. And I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch any of those news channels. My response to you could be, oh, you got it off from CNN or MSNBC. You know, he shut up after that. But I was like, that's enough. I'm Fox News, just that phrase right there, that is a focus group talking point. How many times have I talked about talking points? And I got to tell you, it works because it gets my emotions up because it's not true about me. You know, I don't watch Fox News. And I don't care. I don't care what they say. It's almost like they think it's impossible for me to form an opinion independent of Fox News if Fox News, if it's something that Fox News might say. Well, that's pretty insulting. So I had to yell at him, shut him down. And after that, I started thinking about, you know, some constructive ideas on how I can work with him, you know, talk with him. He was a guy I invited on the show. He never showed up. He got in a fight with his girlfriend about their upcoming wedding, and he forgot. So I was going to thinking maybe next time I can ask him, okay. He was also because he was arguing talking points about the you know, the $1 trillion infrastructure bill and whatever else they got coming down the pipe, and you know, obviously they're terrible. And he's like, well, you know, we're gonna pay for that, so you know, the stuff that we have to pay for and stuff. I said, do you know how much a trillion is? Well, pretty big number. I said, if you spent $1 per second, and I've said this before, how long would it take you to spend $1 trillion? Long time. I said, 31,000 years. He didn't say anything. He didn't dispute it. But I know he went and looked it up. 31,709 years is 1 trillion seconds. Give or take. Give or take a minute or two. So what I was thinking, and I texted this to G Ski today as just as a reminder, as you know, one of the things that we do back and forth is, you know, we'll get an idea and we'll text it over there, partly to bounce it off of him, for me anyways, partly to bounce it off of him and partly to remember, you know, for the show. So here's my today's think for yourself question. Question goes like this. What level of government would you be comfortable with? And just wait for whatever they answer. You know, if you want college paid for, if you want, you know, pre-K, all state-owned pre-K, if you want all state-owned hospitals, if you want all state-owned car dealers, you want all state-owned electric companies, you want all state-owned oil, you know what I mean? So how far what is it that you would be comfortable with? What, you know, obviously you're arguing for more government, so you're not comfortable with the level of government that we have now, or whether you are or not, you're comfortable with it getting bigger. But what I'm asking is, how big, you know, would it get for you to be comfortable with? How big would you allow it to get? And so if whatever level of government you decide on, if the growth of government exceeds that, like it won't. So if it exceeds that, then you'll oppose it? Or will you just and allow yourself to be convinced that slavery to the government is good, you know, because after all, we got to pay for things somehow. I got jumped on earlier because I mentioned something about, well, I, you know, I got jumped on by two allies in my office when I mentioned Marxism was not a system of government. It's more of an activity. It's more of a behavior. What? No, no. What are you talking about? No, Marx did this. Marx, you know, this and that. And I said, no, no, no. He wrote the Communist Manifesto, which is about communism, but he also wrote a thousand other things. That was how to get there. And one of the things, how to get there, is to tear apart, pull every thread that will get people mad at each other. Because now we're yelling at each other when we, all of us, should be mad at the government who pulled that thread and you know, started agitating the different categories that we check off, the different boxes that we check off. Once in a while, my buddy says something that I agree with, so I tell him, yeah, I said, I agree with that. But other times, he's not. It's almost like he's too far gone. He's marrying a social worker, so I'm sure that influence is not conservative. But hey, Bigfoot's in the house. Sorry, I have to look way over to a different screen to find the chat room. What's up, Bigfoot? Vizky is extracting himself from his machine. He just got his radiator flushed. As I've said many times, that's not a sexual thing. Not yet, anyways. So, yeah, so getting back to my think for yourself, I have a question for anybody who thinks, the 59 or 54 or whatever percent of Democrats that think socialism is good. I have a question. Here's my question. Are you ready? My hand is up. Pick me. Well, thank you for taking my question, Mr. President. Well, here's my question. Will socialism make you richer? Question mark. Of course not. Of course not. What it would do is make rich people poorer. Does that have to do with you? What does that have to do with you? It doesn't affect your life one way or the other. It just gives you Schadenfreude because the rich people are now poorer. So, Jiski says that Susie wants to chime in. So let's bring in Susie. He'll have to do it because I don't have the switchboard. Oh, hi.
You know, I just wanted you to talk just a little bit, your ideas and the subjects on, too. The only way I see a person with tremendous faith in God.
Sue, hang on, please. Hang on. I can barely hear you. Is there anything that you can do on your end? Maybe put the phone closer or...
I don't know. Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
my phone's going.
Yeah, that's better. That is better, though. So whatever you just did, that was way better.
Okay.
Sorry. Carry
anyway,
on, please.
Okay. I wanted you to talk about the only way I see you can reverse this voter fraud is the 2022 election. And if we take the House and the Senate, then can we proceed with impeachment and trials and everything that they're doing? Now, in order to do this, we're going to have to also primary out and vote out the rhinos, you know, because there's quite a few of them. 19 of them voted for that infrastructure bill.
I know. That is very disappointing. And ten of them are fairly untouchable. There's a number that are not going to run again, A, and there's the rest of them just barely got elected. So that's like, 5 years away from anybody remembering what they did.
Yeah. Anyway, do you see that as the only solution right now, the 2022 election? Because I don't see the courts or anything else doing anything to reverse this fraud that we have in now. This basically is Barack Hussein Obama's third term. That's what's going on here.
Right, right. So you posed a question to me?
Yes.
All right. Can you just repeat the question so I'm clear? Please.
Okay. What do you see as the solution to reversing this incredible fraud? Oh, and then one more thing you might want to tell your progressives when they mention Fox News.
Yeah.
Fox News sees Ducey the night of the election, and within 2 hours, polls weren't closed, called the election for Joe Biden. So Fox News is, well, I won't even say what I think about
Well, that. Let's just say they are not your friends.
No. John, what do you think the solution would be to
It's a multifaceted solution for anything meaningful, because right now the lever, and again, I'm not an expert in any of this. I appreciate the question, but I'm not an expert in any of this. I listen to a lot of different things. I try to stay in touch. So the levers of power are right now in the hands of the Democrats. So I think what will help 2022 is for all Republicans that are running to start talking about impeachment. And there's no shortage of real reasons to impeach Biden. Okay? So if they start winning, then they'll be, if they start, if the rhinos, like you say, you got to primary the rhinos. They've been there too long, and they've been in their status. Whether they've been in government, for a long time, or just been, in the upper crust and now are in government, they're corrupt. I mean, they're good old boys. They're there for themselves. The rest of us be damned. So, yes, those guys have to all go, especially, all the ones that voted for that $3 trillion thing. Just multiply 31,709 years by three, and then there's another $5 trillion one, following that. And it's astronomical. And but between that, the open border, and that, which is another thing we should, should probably talk about. But, if you start just running on common sense, impeaching Biden, closing the border, and just reducing some of this size of government, then you should do okay. But if you don't, I don't think you're not going to attract anybody. They're going to be like, same old, same old. And then it's going to be gone. So the only way, like you were saying, is to get some of these levers of power back in the hands of people who will pull them. Not just rhinos may have their hands on the levers of power, but they never pull them. Democrats Democrats have like 16 arms, and they're just pulling and pulling and pulling every lever they can reach. And they're like the guy in the mailroom at the on Men in Black there, where he's sorting lettuce. They got all them arms, and they're just finding a lever, pulling a lever, pulling a lever, pulling a lever. Levers of power, levers of power. That's the reason that those guys are attracted to this job. They need to stay in power. So That's what.
Okay, well, I have another question. You said impeach Biden. But do we have to impeach Biden Harris? If we just impeach Biden, then does Harris become president?
Yes. Yes. But so what? You will have made a statement. If you're able to impeach and remove Biden, yes, Harris becomes the president. Yes. Do you think she's going to maintain her current behavior? And if she does, then she will be impeached. Do you see what I mean? You need to send the message that you're not afraid to behave the way they behaved. And that's what needs to be done, in my opinion.
Thank you for answering the question. I'll go back on mute.
Okie doke. I think we got G Ski with us now anyway. So we got you, G? Yeah? No? No? Yeah? Yep, nope, yep, nope. Pierre, look out the window and see if the blinker is working. Yep, nope, yep, nope. Popped in and said hello and then popped off. So I don't know if he's having more microphone problems. All right. Well, Susie, that was a very, very, very good question, and it, you know, it kind of stimulated a couple of thoughts that I'd been thinking about, and that was it. You're right. I mean, you got to do all the primary work. You know, you got to get the right people primaried. You got to get the rhinos primaried out, and then you got to put them up, and you got to win against the Democrats. So. The problem is that while the Democrats have all these 16 arms pulling every lever of power that they can, I think I heard somewhere in one of these bills is the maintaining of the COVID era voting system. Well, of course they want to keep that in place. That's how they won. And that's the only reason that they won. It's the biggest avenue for fraud and cheating. So they need to keep that in there. They need to enshrine those methods in law while they have the power. So if they do that, and we've talked about this, the HR1 and stuff like that. Then we're not going to even be able to primary people. Oh, we might primary them, but they'll.
Yay!
Hey, G Ski.
What's happening?
What's going on?
I'm having all kinds of problems, but it's all good.
Hey, we love you. You're good. We got you.
I'm here.
Yeah, you.
I'm here. Continue, sir.
I need, you know, you heard the conversation about, you know, Sue's question and stuff like that.
Yes.
So my thought was, yes, you have to primary the people, then you have to beat them in the general if they don't get their HR1 things in, you know, with the voting laws being altered to enshrine the COVID era. So if you take out the COVID era voting rules that they went by, you're racist.
Right.
Oh, just that? Isn't there like 47,000 other things that make me a racist?
Yes, there's a huge list.
Might be up to 60,000 by now.
Yeah, probably so.
It's innumerable. Because it works for them. That's
right.
So I was talking when Susie called in, I was talking about my buddy, and he always inspires some think for yourself pieces, which he did today. And I, like I said, I texted you one of them. So when we took Susie's call, I was talking about, will socialism make you richer? Answer, no. But what it'll make is rich people poorer, and that has nothing really to do with you. It's just a Schadenfreude thing, you know, where
right.
you extract delight in someone else's misfortune.
Yes.
I was able to teach that word to a guy at work. What's that mean? Oh, that's not a real word, is it? Yes. And I gave him the definition and then urged him to look it up. So when you follow that, follow that line, okay, you have to agree that, like, really smart people or people who have a higher level of faculty, you need to hold those people back because everyone else can't keep up. Does that make any sense? You have to make
it.
What? It does? Let me rephrase that. I must have said it wrong. If you agree.
No, you didn't. If you agree.
Okay, so if you agree that people should not make full use of their faculties for the purposes of equity, does that make sense?
Not really.
Why would you hold people back from you making full use of their faculties just because everyone can't keep up with them?
Right.
Why would you regulate them? Why would you relegate them to regulations? so that they can't, maybe those are the people who are going to invent things that we need. Maybe those are the people that are going to find the medicines that we need. You need smart people to make full use of their faculties. Not only that, but to live a full life.
Right.
You know, what kind of a life is it? It's an existence. You're just going to kind of grind along and, you know. So if you agree that doesn't make sense, because that's kind of what socialism does, it makes the rich people poor, so that no one would really no one's inspired.
Hello?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh.
That was stupid internet.
Oh, all right. Well, you got an echo going now. You got two sources of... You got two sources of audio now?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you got an echo. So, but anyways, so then if you agree that doesn't make sense, that just to keep people equal, you have to hold back the smarter people or the stronger people or whatever, so that they can't live a full life or make full use of their faculties. Who enforces the quote-unquote equity? Who enforces that? Are you comfortable with the government enforcing that kind of equity? Who's to say that they won't decide that you need to be held back at whatever level you think you're at? Because I guarantee you that you do not, people with $1 million don't think they're rich. They know rich people. And then people with, $10 million, they don't think they're rich. They just have $10 million because those billionaires are rich, you know? And then when you get up to there, to the really super high-end ones, they don't care what anybody thinks of them because they can afford to take the hit. They can hire people to keep them off of people's radar. Did you see any of the Mike Lindell symposium? I wanted to ask you.
No, I wanted to. I was trying, but I didn't see any of it.
There was a lot of clips. Last 2 days in a row, almost every swipe on my TikTok was something from that. So I favorited a lot of them so that they're kind of saved so I can go back and take a look at them. You know, if I thought it was, you know, poignant or relevant or, you know, important, I double tapped. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
Hey, I'm going to bow out for a second. I need to do something, but I'll be right back. So
yeah, all
right. You keep on going, and I'll be right back.
All right. Yeah, gotcha. No problem. Because I just exhausted everything that I was going to talk about, and then I was going to let you talk and bounce off of that. But you go ahead. I can't let the show go without saying lick spittle, just because I like it. That's funny. All right, so that's my new addition to the Think for Yourself segment. We've gone through some of the other items that I have on there where when you've formed your opinion about an issue that involves a grievance that a group has, where does that come from? Does it come from someone within the group, or does it come from someone outside the group agitating you? Hey, you know, it says there's a poll that says, you know, XXX about these people said blah, blah, blah. Well, now you're pissed off because those people did, you know, do this. They think this, or they said that. Well, it doesn't, you mean a poll? I bet people that you meet that might fall into that category might not think exactly what they came up with in the poll. The poll doesn't not the poll is another thing too. The poll does not get published if it doesn't say what they want it to say. If it does get published, it doesn't get any airplay. It doesn't get any recognition. It gets ignored. If there are polls that don't say and don't support what they want to convey as, you know, shaping the direction, you know, it's like they have a ring in everybody's nose and they'll pull it this way. Hey, look over here. Look at those guys. Oh, look at those guys. Pull it the other way. So you're like watching a ping pong match going back and forth. Oh, look at those guys. Oh, look at those guys. Oh, look at those guys. But the polls that might give you your opinion on, you know, on whatever the grievance is, the poll is the agitator. You know what I mean? It's those are the people that conducted the question, and they word the question very carefully. When they do a poll, they word the question very, very carefully. And they'll publish it if it demonstrates what they want. Or
am I still in the house?
Yeah, yeah, we got you. I was going to say, or they will ask more people. That's what they call waiting the poll, where you ask, you know, more Democrats this question than you do Republicans. And that way you can say, you know, these people, this percent of these people think this. Excuse me. Why don't you ask more of the other side and see what they say? Well, because we're trying to really push this idea. I bet. All right, G. We got you.
All right. Yeah, and what you were saying just now, it of course was focus group tested. So that's why they're doing that poll the way they do them.
Yeah, I'm talking about any poll, you know, and polling companies are the ones that hold the focus groups.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they either have a room with a dozen people, or they have another room with, you know, two dozen telephones that people are calling around, you know, doing phone polling. So.
Yeah, exactly. Am I sounding good?
You sound awesome, buddy. You sound awesome. You sound refreshed.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. That's
good. How about me? Am I, do I sound all right?
Well, on my end, you're breaking up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That might mean that I'm breaking up on the air.
Yeah, it just started. But no, it's clear now, though.
Oh, all right, good.
Okay, I don't know what happened, but yeah.
My microphone's plugged into the mixer. My headphones are plugged into the mixer. Then a USB to the computer. So I'm not breaking up to me. You know what I mean? I've got a
right.
Direct line. So I sound awesome to me. I'm just gonna keep going.
Yeah, I was struggling because Blog Talk Radio kicked me out, and I couldn't get back in. So then I tried my phone, and my phone was acting up. And then I tried Blog Talk Radio back again, and they graciously let me back in. So,
well, at least
back
it's
in
not
now.
YouTube.
And I did want to talk about that. I was telling Sue earlier that I wanted to touch on that. Because, you know, Sue had got suspended from Twitter for a week. And, of course, they took down the Bacon Zone song from YouTube. What kind of crap is that?
Well, I at least made them work for it because I appealed it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Well, I got to lose. They had apparently had already made their decision, but you know, I appealed it, and then in the explanation, I was like, you know, you can't prove that this incited any violence or even any hatred. What I
right.
did was post some opinions and some observations, and I'm making a joke. You know, are you going to take down all the Jeff? Yep, the ventriloquist, the guy with Aquaman.
Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham, yeah. You're going to take Jeff Dunham's videos down?
Yeah.
You know? Because, matter of fact, that was a big part of that video was the little drop-ins by Jeff Dunham.
And, yeah. And
that was hilarious.
Silence! I kill you.
I kill you. Knock, knock. Me, I kill you. And so, you know, I appealed it, and I, you know, I was like, well, you know, I'm not just going to let them bully me. I'm going to at least, you know, push back or whatever, and at least make them have to take another look at it, make them take up their time, you know. It's what they do. You know what I mean? They'll just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. You know, maybe now I'll get a lawyer. Well, I can't afford a lawyer, but they don't know that.
Right.
You know, it's like I violated their hate speech regulations. What, just now? The freaking song's been up for 7 years. So I think what happened, do you remember like one of our third shows or something? I ended up having it out with this kid. I was doing the show solo, and the kid was dropping in the chat room, and I was reacting, I was responding and stuff like that. And then I played the Bacon Zone song, and everything got dark. I mean, like, super, super dark.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, all it takes is somebody to be offended, and then they report your video. And, of course, YouTube doesn't want anybody being offended by their platform, so they just take it down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, screw you.
Yeah. So are you waiting on a response from
appeal? No. They responded. I read the thing this morning, and they said, we've revisited it and decided to take the video down.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I don't know. And the thing is, I don't even know how many views it ended up having. It probably had a lot.
Right.
I mean, it probably had a real lot. Because now, now that they've drawn attention to myself, now that they're looking at probably all my other stuff that's on there, on my channel.
Yeah. Shoot, they're probably going to shut down our BTR show.
Well, that's what I've been saying.
Yeah.
I even put that in one of the descriptions. We're going to be banned soon.
Yeah. So now we have to play the Bacon Zone song every show.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the good news. We have it. It's well represented on Blog Dog Radio podcasts.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll play it every show for the peoples, the peeps.
we have to introduce it, though, as what it is.
Yes, of course. And I thought I heard Sue, were you going to chime in on that part of the conversation?
No. She mutes herself, so she'll have to unmute herself.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, your video was taken down off of YouTube and Sue got suspended for a week. I thought something was wrong because I hadn't seen anything from Sue. And I'm like, oh man, I hope nothing's wrong. So I ended up DMing her and she told me that she had got suspended and she wasn't going to be back on until Monday. I'm like,
so
man,
if one is suspended, you can still DM with people?
I guess so. I guess so. Sue would know more about that than me. But, yeah, I guess you can still DM, but you can't post anything.
Oh, wow. Look at who's in there. Smokey from Texas. Smokey.
Hey, Smokey, what's happening?
What's going on?
Yeah, and... And
that means Sue's back in action on Twitter, tweeting the thing. I got all the tweets.
Yeah. But she doesn't use hashtags anymore. Because I think the hashtags is what got her.
Well,
so,
can I clarify that? Because
yeah.
People need to know what happened. Twitter has a new way of taking down conservancy. I used a hashtag that was trendy. It was a conservative hashtag. Within 30 seconds of posting the hashtag, I was suspended, which meant I couldn't tweet, but I could look at my timeline, and I could DM certain people, but I couldn't, you know, like put articles or anything in the DM. Anyway, within 30 minutes of this happening, this trending hashtag disappeared. There were literally thousands of conservatives who were taken down with that hashtag in a matter of 30 minutes. So my warning to everyone is do not use conservative hashtags. If someone had reported you, it would have taken longer. So I know that this is a trap set by Twitter. And they can monitor you real easily this way. I don't know what was going on this week, that they wanted to get us off of Twitter. Anyway, that's what happened, and I'm back.
It was the symposium that was going on this week too.
Oh yeah,
that's what it would have been. I mean, that's they needed to keep a lid on that. TikTok was the only place. I mean, I could have gone to the frankspeech.com whatever, but. You know, TikTok was providing with, you know, numerous clips, you know, 2-3 minutes at a time. And that was the only place that I didn't see any of it on Facebook. I didn't see any of it, probably nothing on Twitter. Not that I looked, but in any case, TikTok was the only place I saw any of it. But I saw a lot of it on TikTok.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was crazy. And Marjorie Taylor Greene has been suspended again off of Twitter also. She's been suspended for, I think, it's either a week or she's been suspended for like 12 hours, something like that. But yeah, she's been suspended. I heard that on the radio just the other day. I think it was yesterday.
Is she your guy in Georgia?
Yes. Yes. I like her a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, congratulations. You know you're over the target if you're taking the flag. So.
Yeah.
Well,
she.
Rand Paul was suspended from YouTube and Twitter.
Wow.
What was he saying that got him suspended?
About the COVID and treatment of COVID and various masks.
Yep.
They got all bent out of shape and they took it down. Because I used to watch them a lot on YouTube. They took them off of YouTube. Then they suspended him on Twitter saying he was putting out misinformation.
That is unbelievable. They have to control every aspect of information right down to government officials who know stuff that we don't know. And because it doesn't go with their narrative, well, you're suspended.
Yep.
And I just don't, I mean, I understand that, you know, it's a private company and they pretty much do what they want to do. But, you know, they're working on demands from the government.
Right.
Shut all
right.
That stuff down.
Right. Yes. And by admission.
Yeah.
By the Psaki, she admitted that they've been, you know, working with people in these big tech and asking them to do those things. Well, that way they get to say, and I think there was a show that we talked about this back when she said it. I don't have it now, but it was the to say, well, it's not the government interfering with your free speech, but if you have someone else do it on your behalf, it is.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah, it is biting on free speech. And now we have...
At the government's behest.
At the government's behest. You got Twitter, you got Facebook, you got YouTube, Instagram. All of them are doing it. Well, Instagram and Facebook are all the same company. But, yeah.
Which is a monopoly, almost, huh?
You.
All right.
But
well,
nobody's saying anything about that.
No, I know. But let's. It's one they agree with. So it's a good. Stop looking over there. Okay. You know. Hey, COVID. Hey. Why don't we hit a top of the hour break and obviously you're going to play the now banned on YouTube Bacon Zone song.
Okay, we can do that.
And whatever else you want to play.
Okay. So we're going to take a quick break, people. When we come back, it's going to be on and popping once again because you're listening to the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We will be back.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for greatest of all time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
No one knows how to best cope with kidney disease like someone who lives with it every day. And that's why the National Kidney Foundation created NKS Peers, our peer mentoring program for kidney patients, including people on dialysis, transplant recipients, and those in earlier stages of kidney disease. Our program also connects living kidney donors with people who are considering donation. NKF trains kidney patients and living donors to serve as mentors in the program, and then we connect them with others who are seeking support. For someone who is just diagnosed with kidney disease or someone considering donating a kidney, talking it through with someone who's been through it is invaluable. Participants use a special toll-free phone system to connect to each other, so no one has to disclose their personal phone numbers or incur any long-distance charges, and the program is completely free. It provides effective, confidential help to those who need it. To learn more or to get involved, call 855-653-7337, that's 855-NKF-PEER, or email us at nkfpeers@kidney.org.
Good evening.
Well, I used to eat bacon, 'cause I like the way it tastes. Now I eat it for jihadis, just to say in your face. I eat bacon, wrapped in bacon, rolled in bacon bits. I don't care if they like it or not. It offends them. It's in their Quran.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
You ain't gonna take my bacon. I'm glad you're offended to your shoes. 'Cause I'd rather eat my bacon.
You see what I'm trying to say, Abdul? I'd rather you got over yourself, put an end to all this righteous indignation. Have some bacon and enjoy it. We can all get along and from war enjoy permanent vacation. Bacon, wrapped in bacon, rolled in bacon bits off your Quran.
are listening to Renaissance Radio on Airwaves America with Dave and GC Rock.
Welcome back to the Dave Ajeski Rock Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We want to thank you for listening to the show. You didn't have to, but you did. So we thank you. And I just want to ask, where was the hate speech in that song? Dave, do you think you can point that out? I don't.
Your religion is a big pile of piety. I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? I don't know what they the only thing I can figure is the little worm weasel 11-year-old that was I was arguing with in the chat room tagged the video, or somebody like that tagged it. Oh, I'm offended. I'm flagging this. I'm reporting this to YouTube. Otherwise, they would never. It's been up for 7 years, 6 years.
Yeah, 7 years with no issues, and all of a sudden, yeah, it's flagged and taken down. That's crazy, and I mean I don't see the hate speech in that song.
It's comedy. I mean, it's comedy.
Yeah, and like you said. There's Jeff Dunham and Ahmed, the dead terrorist, all up in there.
And who is it? Bigfoot says in the chat room, Ahmed never gets old. In Tel Aviv, he says, what's with all the Jews? Because he, you know, obviously did a show in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
And when he was in the Middle East there, he went to Dubai or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were howling. They were all absolutely just howling at Ahmed, the dead terrorist, the skeleton.
They were loving
the whole thing. He's a dead terrorist. He's a skeleton. He loses body parts here and there because he, you know, he blew himself up or whatever. The whole story of Ahmed is hilarious. And those guys over there in Dubai absolutely lost their crap laughing at when he did a show over there. He was a little nervous,
right. Obviously.
He was a little nervous.
Yeah, because he said that he was debating whether he wanted to bring out Ahmed or not. And then he just said, forget it. And he brought him out. And they received him absolutely with open arms. And they loved him.
And you know why? Because it's freaking funny.
Yes!
it's freaking funny. Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny. Let me wind up a little more on the F. It's funny. I thought I was going to say something else, didn't you?
You could if you want to. Yeah, they're going to shut us down eventually. That's just how they roll. But I mean,
but I don't want it to be because I said Fandango. So,
I got you. Well,
yeah. All right. So when you were on break, I turned the thing up so I could hear the music and I could hear what's going on. But I engaged in some keyboard programming, I confess. So I forgot what we were talking about.
Well,
I've you know, like 2.5 weeks to get this whole thing programmed so that I can do a show with it, the new keyboard. And
right.
And, you know, not only that, I have to run through the stuff. I have to do some dress rehearsals. And I haven't even opened the guitar case for 3 weeks, you know. So I'm scrambling, reprogramming the, you know, the computer to drive the new keyboard instead of the old one. And I haven't sung a note. I haven't played a chord. I mean, I've played some keyboard stuff to make sure, you know, that the keyboard behaves the way I need it to behave.
Right.
But the ones that I play guitar on, I don't touch the keyboard. So I can just sit back and listen and, you know, make sure that it's doing what it's supposed to do. So, and I'm sure the dress rehearsal I'll have to do some tweaks during that. But anyways, so that's what happened. So I forgot what we were talking about. If you want, we can talk more about that later. And I'm happy to do it. But
yeah.
Right now we got a show to do, so we can.
Yeah.
I mean, we can technically talk about whatever we want, but I did the first hour of things that I wanted to cover that I thought I could, you know, get some effectiveness with, and what do you have that you want to do? You want to talk about Cuomo? Do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Biden?
Wow.
You want to talk about Biden bringing over this little, 9-year-old girl when he was signing a bill? Couldn't resist.
Yeah, he could not.
Did you see that?
He's creepy Uncle Joe.
He called her over so we could sniff her friggin' hair.
Yep.
Saw it on TikTok.
I bet you his handlers were like, no, no, no.
Oh, my God. No.
Damn it.
You ever see that Bounty commercial where they have the slow motion spill on the table?
Oh, yeah.
And then the dog is like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's there to catch Joe Biden is a little bulldog saying, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody else is, no, no. You are correct. Oh, we have another caller on the line. This number is, I mean, it's not a number, but we're going to bring him in and see what we got going on. Hey, caller 1111111111. How you doing? This is the David G. Ski Rock Show. Who are you and what you got to say?
Oh, is this me? I didn't know I was showing up as the number that you that you said, a bunch of ones. That's funny.
One with a bar over it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that. Interesting. Well, good evening, guys. Good show you got going on. Thanks for taking my call. And I wanted to talk about tonight. Hold on 1 second, my wife. The Wi-Fi password? Yeah, it's shit sniffer asshole 21. Yeah.
This is a troll.
Troll. Shit sniffer.
J-Ski.
Asshole 21.
This is a troll.
J-Ski. Gotcha.
Troll.
Gotcha. A troll.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for your call. It was all good.
Maybe next time, Mr. 111 with the bar over it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. Now, since...
I got to give him credit for that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, got to give him credit for that. Not, you know,
just not how we roll.
Yeah, just not how we roll. I opened Sue's mic back up, so she mutes herself, so she can chime in anytime she wants. So... Yeah. I see Smokey's back. He bowed out for a second. But I see he's back now. So.
All right.
Well, no, he's not. I'm sorry. No. Smokey's not back. Smokey, I guess he had to go somewhere. But, yeah, Smokey's gone. But thank you for chiming in on the show anyways, for hanging out in the chat room and all that other good stuff. You know how it is.
You're talking about Smokey, not the 111 guy.
Yeah, I'm talking about Smokey, not the 111111 guy. Yeah. Anyways, we were talking about what Biden, Cuomo. I mean, either or, they're both perverts. So.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. I mean, so Cuomo finally succumbed to the pressure and resigned.
Right.
It's not the kind of issue that you want to double down on. You know, you don't say, oh, they wanted it. You know, you're not going to make any progress with that argument.
Right.
But when you look at what he's accused of saying things to make, you know, I'm not sticking up for him. Oh, okay. Obviously, he grabbed some people. You know, he's a scumbag. Grabbed some people, made them uncomfortable. You know, on TV, that white coat look good, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
According to his, I heard a little bit of his press conference from the other day, but still, okay. Tara Reid said Joe Biden pushed her up against the wall, reached up under his skirt, and inserted fingers. That's way worse than grabbing somebody's butt, grabbing somebody's breast, or saying, hey, you make that doctor coat look good, or the white coat look good, or whatever he said.
Right.
But nobody cares.
And that's the part that I don't I do understand
it. How do you not understand it? It's corrupt.
Right. It's
That's how I explain everything.
Right, and the media chooses not to expose or talk about those things because it's the Democrat president, and the Democrat president is always to be protected.
Right, look how hard they had to work to get him. They're not going to lose him.
Yes, they do everything that they can to protect him. I've watched... I'm trying to think. I think it's Sky News or something like that. They talk about Biden almost every day. They bring up all his gaffes and everything that he's doing. And they're the only ones talking about it. And they're a foreign news media company.
Oh, of course. To get any real news about our country, you have to go outside the country.
Right.
Because they don't have a stake.
Right.
They don't have a stake one way or the other in it. Other, you know, unless they're, you know, progressive globalists, that's the only way they have a stake. But if they're not, then they don't have a stake, and they may as well report the truth.
Exactly. Yeah, so I watch a lot of them because, I mean, their news pieces on Biden are absolutely phenomenal. And, I mean, I love them. I'm going to make sure that I record some of them, and we'll play a lot of them on the show. Sue put up a lot of them, too. You have to check out Sue's Twitter feed. She put some phenomenal stuff up there. And, you know, she puts up stuff that's comical. She puts up stuff that's serious. She puts up stuff that nobody's talking about. So you got to check out her news feed, her Twitter feed, and check out the stuff that she puts up there. It's fabulous. But,
well,
yeah.
That's because Sue is a rock star, so...
Yes,
there's no question about that. So I know she puts out some really, really cool stuff. My problem is I would check out that, but I just don't use Twitter anymore. with sincere apologies to Sue, I do get the notifications on the phone. So, you know, once in a while I'll check something out. But like if somebody mentions me, it'll pop up, you know, as a notification.
Right.
Like, because I got, when she was tweeting out our show, she tagged me in it. So so I got the notification. But past that, I mean, I'm like, Twitter. kind of like where I'm going to be with YouTube, because I think I'll switch to like Rumble or something.
Yeah.
But I'm just pissed off. Now I have to, I probably have to make that whole video again. I have the recording, you know, I think I have to look it up in my iMovies. But I did, you know, I think I mentioned, I, you know, recently, like within the past year or so, I did like one of those hard boot recoveries where I wiped out my iMac and started over.
Yeah.
And backed it up as much as I could and then started over. So I think I wiped it out. I don't know if it's someplace in the backup drive or not. But I mean, my iMac is probably almost 20 years old now. It's probably 15.
Yeah.
You know, the one that I currently use. And I'm glad I spent whatever the $1,100 15 years ago on it, because I would have bought how many Windows computers between now and then?
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, how many have you bought? How many have you bought? Between
oh God, I couldn't tell you. The number is escapes me. But yeah, I've been
like
buying
half a dozen.
Yeah. Because I built all of mine.
Right.
But yeah, every single time, you know, they got this update, that update, and then they'll stop doing updates for this Windows,
right,
and that
and then
Windows.
Boom, it's obsolete. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just crazy stupid. The computer that I have now, I've probably had that one probably a good 10, maybe 15 years. I updated Windows probably 4 years ago on a computer. I haven't used it in 4 years. It's probably been longer than that. I haven't used it in quite a while, but I need to start it back up because there's some great stuff that I have on there. Like,
I was gonna say, that's where all your cool stuff is. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the music that I did back in the days,
yeah,
almost all of our old shows, I have them. They're on that computer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And,
well, aren't they on Blog Talk anyways in podcasts?
Yes, I believe they are.
Yeah, I mean, we can just
I
go to
they are.
Day Mad Radio and you know, whatever, 2020 Radio.
Yeah, and there's also some posted, well, my shows are posted on TuneIn. If you know anything about that. Yeah, so a lot of my shows are on TuneIn. So
I think I used TuneIn to record like talk shows that I want to hear. Like, I used to use TuneIn to record who was the guy down there in Atlanta that the Bortz, Neil Bortz. I used to record him and listen to him when I was out cleaning late.
Yeah.
Later. He was good. He's not on anymore, right?
No, yeah, he retired.
Yeah.
And you also used to record for me, and his name
is
Rusty. Yeah, Rusty Humphreys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you used to record those.
I think I used TuneIn for that. I think I did that. Because I could set like a schedule. You know, I could program it to start recording at this time on this frequency, you know, or whatever it was on this stream, and then stop. And, you know, you would get all the ads from the radio and everything. You know, it wouldn't be a podcast. It would be, you know, it'd be the radio show with all the radio ads and stuff, you know, at that time. So might be funny to listen to some of those old shows and hear what they were advertising. And just hear what the top of the hour news was and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. His show used to be awesome, but all of a sudden, I think it was Clear Channel, and they changed it to Spanish ESPN.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, yeah.
I remember,
I mean,
yeah.
Just, Yeah, just out of nowhere, they changed it to Spanish ESPN. And then a year later, they figured out that that didn't work. So they changed it back to a news talk radio show, a radio channel. But Rusty Humphries never came back. And a lot of them never came back. I think Glenn Beck was on there. And what's my man's name? Your guy wrote the book about the
Levin.
Yes, Mark Levin.
Yeah.
I don't know why his name escaped me. It escaped me. I was thinking about Dave Ramsey, but he's a financial guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they figured out that it wasn't going to work, and they quickly changed it back, and it's been a news talk radio station since then. But none of the guys that I liked were on there, so.
Yeah.
Let me
tell you this, though. I'm pretty sure next time I go to Sam's Club, I'm buying that book that he just wrote, American Marxist.
Oh,
yeah. Remember Dana said he got it already, and he already read it and everything. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna read it. Not to help forge beliefs, but to kind of validate what I've already written about. Because as you know, a lot of that stuff that's going to be in that book is stuff that I've already written about.
I was just about to say that. Most of the stuff that's in his book, you already wrote about. What? That was what?
Like
seven, 8 years ago?
Yeah. 6 or 7, yeah, I guess. Yep. I mean, time flies, so, you know, yeah. Maybe 7. I don't know. But, So, I'm kind of interested because – you know, a lot of the stuff, he might have a couple of new names that I didn't come across at the time, but a lot of it is stuff that I did come across at the time. And you know, once I struck that vein, I'm like, holy crap, this is where, you know, I mean, that really interested me as far as where this started and how it started. And then when they started integrating concepts from Freud with Edward Bernays, you know, and stuff like that. They teamed up with that. And you know, their specialty was how to move the masses. Well, that's where you get your present day PR. You know, if you can get the most amount of people to believe this, how do you get the most amount of people to believe this? And they studied that and came up with, you know, tactics, and, you know, repetition is one of the tactics, you know, just going on with and with a level of confidence, you report what it is you want people to believe, but you also repeat it with the same level of confidence.
Right.
Well, it's believable.
Which was a lot of stuff that they employed during the Trump administration.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and they tried to make him look like a loony. He's like, what are you even talking about? That's not how it is. That's, you know, you made that up. And he would call the people right out. That's what I loved about Trump. He would call them out when they asked stupid questions. What are you doing? No. You're an idiot. Next question. Boy, oh boy, that really galvanized their hatred for him when he wouldn't take any crap from them.
Yeah, they were furious. And that one guy from CNN, the Spanish guy, I always forget his name, but yeah, he used to just beat him down constantly. I forgot that guy's name.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name either, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he used to beat him down constantly. I used to love watching that. But yeah, you are exactly correct. And for everybody in the chat room, everybody on the phone, all you have to do is go to lulu.com, 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 type in David Graham, and you will come up with both of his books. Get them. They're great. They're awesome. He was way ahead of his time. So check them out. Lulu.com. Type in David Graham. Do that. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. You'll be enlightened.
You're talking to all the thousands of people who are listening, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, I wanted to say thank you very much, and I think I texted to you last week. That was quite the book plug you gave me last week, so I appreciate that. We'll see if somebody buys one. We'll see.
Oh yeah.
It's not that it's I mean there were like what 5 and 7 years ago or something like that, maybe 6 and 8, the information in it is still relevant. I mean, we could be, you know, like I said, I've done whole shows reading from, you know, ideas and stuff that I wrote in those books. So it's the same relevance. It's about concepts. If you understand the concepts, if you understand the history, if you understand the origins of what we are in the midst of right now, it helps you to identify the, now it's just, you know, I'm just going to call it Marxism, because like I said before, Marxism is an activity and a behavior. It's not a system of government. Marxism is how you get to communism. Marxism is people in power, and you can include, and you can include the media or the government, because that's the only two places that, you know, really have any power over a lot of people. But it's those people pulling on threads to get everybody else fighting against each other so that they don't have time to look up to see who pulled the thread to begin with. You know, it was like this example I think I saw a couple people do a version of this on TikTok. You can have a jar of ants where half of those ants are the big, you know, the really big black ants, and half of them are, you know, red fire ants, okay, in the same gallon jar, and they'll be fine. You take that jar and you just shake it violently and then put it down and watch it, they're going to start attacking each other. That's what will happen. Those ants will start attacking each other, thinking, well, it was obviously not one of us that made us feel this way. it must be the other guy. Well, that's what's happening, right? They're, we're all in a jar, and they're up there shaking the shit out of it. So that we look and say, well, you know, it wasn't one of my guys that shook this jar and made me feel this way. It had to be the other guy. I'm going to go and fight with him. And when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. It's a perfect analogy of what the people in power are doing to us who are not in power.
Right. Now, this is what I'm going to do, because I'm inspired right now. This is what I'm going to do. Bigfoot, I don't know if you have a copy of Dave's latest book, Reality Is Not Optional. I don't know if you have a copy of it, but you're going to get a copy of it. Sue, I don't know if you have a copy of it, but you're going to get a copy of it. What I'm going to do, I'm going to buy them, and then I'm going to send them to Dave. Dave's going to autograph them, and then I'm going to send it to you guys. How about that? I think we should do that, and I that's something that I want to do.
Wow,
so,
dude, that's fantastic.
So we're going to get down with the get down, and
wow.
I'm going to get you guys a copy of Dave's book. And I'm going to have him autograph it, and then I'm going to send it to you guys.
That's fantastic.
We'll work it all out, and we'll get it done.
See, there are perks to listening to our show, folks. Gee, I bet you're glad there's not more than a couple of people listening.
Ha ha ha. all good. It's all gravy. But yeah, that's what I want to do. And we'll work it all out. And you guys will get to see. I mean, you know already, but you'll get to see how far ahead of the curve he was with his book. And the stuff that's going on now is in the book. And he talks about it. It's great. So you guys will get a copy of the book. I'll be getting them probably this week or next week. And probably, you know, I'll hit you guys up on Twitter, and we'll get a way to get them to you. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Perks of the show, because that's how we do what we do.
That's very generous. Gee, that's fantastic. Thank you.
No
problem. By the way, I loaned out my copy of Reality Is Not Optional. Do you think I can get in line for it?
I got you.
I'm just kidding. Don't. I still have the text in my computer. So that was one of the things I luckily backed up. So
yeah.
I don't think I backed up Stay Mad, but I definitely backed up Reality Is Not Optional. And you know, there's a lot of things in that one that might apply to the times back in, was it 2012? I think that one came up.
Yeah.
You know, it'll apply to whatever's going on there. But there's a lot of introducing the origins of where those things came from. And it's all still the same stuff. That's what G-Ski was saying. We're still dealing with the same things. We just haven't really labeled it, you know, as Marxism, where it was critical theory. There's a whole chapter that I talked about, the critical theory. When I stumbled on that, it was like, wow, I got to write about this. So I did, you know, I did a bunch of research on it and then ended up putting the stuff in the book. You know, there's the end notes that you can check on check me out on that stuff. Whether or not Google still is given any access to those endnotes, I don't know. We'll see. They may or may not, because that was before they started really, you know, cracking down on censorship and stuff like that, and cracking down on free speech. So,
right.
Anyway. But G-Ski, oh my goodness, you are the man. So I thank you very much. I'm going to get two book sales at least. I don't think I've had a book sale in you know, 5 or 6 years. I don't think I sold maybe 10. It was one of those things where I was when I wrote the first one, I think I sold maybe cuz I had to publish it myself. These are self-published books. So you don't have anybody behind you. You have nobody writing anything. I wrote everything in, you know, those. I wrote everything in those that's in those books. The front page, the title page, you know, the next page, the next, you know, you got to figure out what goes where. You have to kind of figure it out. So I sold, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 books the first time.
Yeah.
And then the second book, I had just finished writing it up, writing it and, you know, putting everything, you know, doing the cover art and, you know, the spine art and all the what's going to be on the back of the book, what's on the back page of the back page of the book, what's on the inside cover, you know, stuff like that. I had to figure out all of that. And then right when it was time to go on my national book tour, I ended up getting another full-time job. So at the time that I would have been promoting this book, I was delivering mail. That went full-time for me. And then 2 weeks later, another job that I had applied for, working second shift as a school district custodial supervisor. So I was in charge of three schools and the crews for all three schools. I'm working full-time first shift and then full-time second shift. So, you know, I needed to make some money. I'd been pretty much out of work for a little while, and you know, it's one of those things that never rains but it pours. When you have an opportunity, you take the opportunity and you exhaust it for everything it, right. You know, you can. So I never got a chance to really promote the second book, which is like at least twice as good as the first one, because the first one, for the most part, and I know Sue bought the first one and she loved it. The first one, what I consider it, is basically me documenting my political awakening. And all the stuff that I started learning about, I just had to do something with it, and it turned into that book. It was called Stay Mad. And then
Observations of a Proletarian.
Observations of a Proletarian. Right. So then, you know, now I had an idea of how to do all this stuff, and I was still collecting data, and staying plugged in and doing stuff. And I was doing the radio show to promote the book. I was doing all that stuff, and I started putting another book together. Now, granted, there is some stuff that was in the first book that ended up being in the second book, because I had some more thoughts on on what was in the first one. I want to say,
right,
to expound a little bit, like the rules for radicals and stuff like that. You know, the Saul Alinsky stuff that made it into the second book. It was in the first book, but it also made it into the second book because I had some more thoughts that I wanted to expound upon a little bit. And like I said, I kind of had an idea of what I needed to do with like Lulu.com, you know, on publishing the book and self-publishing the book, and how to do the front page, how to do the second page, how to do the introduction, how to do the, you know, the end notes and stuff like that. It's me start to finish, first cover to back cover, and the spine art. So you have to do all of that stuff all by yourself when you self-publish a book, which is what I did, which is why you can only pretty much get it on Lulu.com. So like I said, the second book has got some more. The first book was kind of like, you know, floating around, you know, this way to that way and that way to this way. And, you know, that was before I realized, because I think, and I'm just being totally, totally honest here. In the first book, some of the rabbit holes that I went down were the Alex Jones rabbit holes.
Right.
So between then, the first book, and the second book, I started to realize, yeah, that's probably not a good end note. You know, just because, you know, it's different stuff. That stuff sells, but it's not what I was trying to sell.
Right.
Okay. I'm trying to sell stuff that I can back up 100%. And you remember Addie,
the German lady?
Okay. she kind of was bought into some of that stuff because she was off talking about chemtrails and stuff like that. And I couldn't get with that. You know what I mean? I couldn't get with
right.
that. And that was the Alex Jones bit was, you know, chemtrails, they're mind controlling you. And he said that, he says it with such conviction and confidence, which is, you know, Edward Bernays all the way. So it took me a little while to see through to the other side of that. But in the meantime, I had some solid stuff. I was doing some Hillsdale College courses, which gives, you know, really good, succinct, positive, you know, information based on the documentation of the period.
Right.
So that I'm like, okay, it can't get any purer than this. That's what I went with. And so in my opinion, my second book is better than the first book because I had a little more awareness of my surroundings. Let's put it that way.
Your foundation was a lot more sturdier.
Yeah. Like I said, the first book was basically me kind of documenting my political awakening. Because up until then, I couldn't give a crap. I was, you know, before that, I was in a band, you know, and I had my own thing going. And I'm, just so you know, I'm kind of headed in that direction now. But I can't unsee what I've seen. You know what I mean? So I got that going for me. So the second book would be the one to put a little more credence to than the first book. So and only for those reasons, because I the first one was like kind of like a dry run, and through promoting it. You know, I actually did a couple of book signings at some places and then using the Blog Talk Radio, doing interviews, you know, and getting, you know, trying to get people to get the thing on Twitter and stuff like that. I probably sold maybe 30, 40 books.
Yeah.
But the other one, right when I would have launched into that whole process, I ended up working like two full-time jobs for three and a half years.
Yeah, that's when the economy kind of collapsed and everybody was kind of struggling at the time. I know I was.
Well, I mean, I wasn't only because I had two full-time jobs, but
right.
I was working two full-time jobs and, you know, that's not easy.
Yeah,
you know, I had to finish one job by 2 to get to the other one by 3, and I'm there until 11:30, and then I got to get up at 5 and do it all again. You know,
right.
And with the mail, you never really know how much volume you're gonna get, and so since then, I mean, that was back when the mail route that I went full time on, it was a little bit smaller than it is now. And I was able to take like a couple of days off from that. In other words, I was working like 4 days a week, and I was just getting leave without pay for some of those days. So I wasn't taking in vacation time. I wasn't taking sick time. It was just leave without pay. And I was working 4 days a week. And I was working, you know, four of the hardest days of the week just so that no one would start,
right.
would start whining about it, which they did anyways. But it ended up affecting my other the second shift job enough so that they canned me. They got rid of me. They found a reason to get rid of me. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
But you're in a much better place now.
I'm just doing the mail, but I've been able to expand the mail route, and now I have I started teaching karate again, because I'm not working the second shift job, so that's an evening job. So I do that 4 days a week, and then I have the gigs, and I just got another one today for September, private party. Loving it, it's fantastic. The guy found me randomly on Facebook and contacted me and was like, "Yeah, baby." So I solidified that today. I'm doing I play two places in like the town that I deliver mail in, so I can access like a whole bunch of people to invite them to the show. And I get along with them. I really try to schmooze people because through the month of December, people will give you tips, And last year, I made almost $2,000 in tip. Not to mention Dunkin' Donuts cards, cookies, fudge, peanut brittle, all kinds of stuff, but brownies and banana bread and, people just leave stuff for me for presents.
But oh, wow.
The meaningful part was, for me, was the cash. So,
right.
So I did okay. So I am literally always, you call it schmoozing, I call it schmoozing, but what it is basically just sales. Whenever you're selling anything, you're not selling the product, you're selling yourself, right?
Yes.
So that's
exactly
how I approach. That's how I approach this job. I'm always smiling. I'm interacting, pleasantly, and it works. It's paid off. So, but now with the gigs that are in the same town, I have access to 500 and some odd people. I can get 250 business cards for $10 at Staples. So I can deliver 250 invitations. I'll just design it saying, okay, I'm playing here at such and such on such and such a day. And I can give out 250 of them to the people that I know that I want, that I, I can even go fishing for people that I haven't talked to yet.
Yeah. That is very, very cool. We got about a minute and a half left on the show. So I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sue, for putting it out there. Getting it to everybody.
And
thank you
for calling in, Sue. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate
that. Most definitely. So I just want to thank everybody. We're going to get this book thing going on, and we're just going to rock it. So thank you all for hanging out with us. We really do appreciate it. Love you guys. And we are out of here.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. Thanks for joining our informative, stimulating, thought-provoking, an entertaining show. Welcome.
Bam. There you go.
Yo, yo.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good job tonight.
Thank you, sir. Good job to you, too. Awesome. Loving every minute of it.
Thanks, everyone. Yeah, so
what's up?
My subwoofer is not what I thought it was going to be.
Really?
I put all that work into that. And there's a rattle in this thing that I can't. So what I don't know is if it's the cabinet or the speaker. And
right.
I think it might be both. I took the speakers out of two subwoofers that I had built before, and in truth, I've hit those babies hard.
Right.
Okay. I've hit them hard. So I don't know. It might be the speakers. I've got a couple other speakers that I might be able to swap out. That's if I can get them in the enclosure.
Yeah.
I had to cut some bracing out of the the other one to get the other ones in. I the amp seems to be performing fine. It really kicks. But the I think a lot of the and it must be that a lot of the effectiveness of the QSC subwoofer with this design is the actual speakers, the cones.
Right.
I used some 12-inch subs that I had bought for, they're probably like $120 a piece. They were like 600 watts. They're what they call shallow mount. So they're not that deep, but
right.
they still, they still kick. You can't hold it off. You know what I mean? If it's cranking with some bass, you can't stop it
right.
with your hand. And not that I've tried to really, oppose it, but it's pretty powerful. In other words, they're pretty decent. But there was a buzz kind of in one of the speakers that I noticed, and I think I don't know. I'm just gonna have to try another set of speakers in it to see if it was the speakers or not.
Right.
The other thing I thought about too was the baffle that the speakers actually mount to. When I knocked the things together, and after I glued and screwed the outside cabinet, and then I tried to fit the piece that the speakers mount to down in as the baffle, it didn't fit. So I had to cut it down. So then, of course, it was too short. I cut it down too much. I'm like, what are you gonna do? So I got some rubber weather stripping that it's self stick stuff, so I put it down around the around that baffle, and then I wedged it in there, and it wedged in so super tight. And then I screwed in a couple, because I on the baffle I had glued and screwed some bracing for me to be able to screw it into the side of the cabinet from the inside.
Right.
So I didn't glue it, but I screwed in a couple, because it wedged in so, like I said, so tight. So I screwed in like a couple of screws on the bracing and stuff. And it was bracing on both sides. But it might not be enough to withstand the movement from the subs that are mounted.
Right, yeah.
So
I understand that.
Yeah. So I mean, I got a couple things I can try. I mean, I'm not giving up on it yet, but I've kind of put it aside. I've got the amp mounted in the thing. You know what I mean? I've got the speakers mounted in the thing. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it is the nuts. But when you hit like an E flat, there's an ungodly buzz. And it's,
I mean, it looks good from the pictures that you showed me. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. And it kicks out, you know. It's like I had to muffle with some insulation, you know, some of both sides of the thing. But there is a tremendous amount of energy getting thrust into a sealed port.
Right.
And I left, everything is glued and screwed except the bottom. So I take the bottom off and it's like, that's really loud. And then I put the bottom back on and all that stuff is supposed to go out the front, but it doesn't. I don't, you know, so I don't know. The design I think is sound. It's not behaving exactly the way I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The only thing I can think of is to, I think one of the things that I'm going to do, regardless if the speakers are good or bad, is replace the baffle with another piece of wood and drill out, you know, and then cut out the circles again and make sure that it fits better.
Right.
And when it fits better, I will glue and screw the baffle to the wall of the thing. And then, you know, it's just a matter of making sure that whatever I decide to put in there, I can get in there. Because, like, in the QSC, when you take the amp that's mounted to the back of it, when you take that out, that is where you put the speakers in and out. But the speaker magnet is a little smaller than the speaker magnets that I have. So it wouldn't make the turn. It wouldn't make it, you know, I couldn't make the corner with it because the magnet was
right. Yeah. Yours are big, huge.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Because they're like shallow mount. Yep. And so, you know, it's just a matter of, like I said, making sure that I can fit in what I need to fit in. If I can try out these other speakers and see if some of that buzz is reduced. If the buzz is reduced, then the speakers that I've used, I can disregard them, you know, as far as they're not usable.
Right.
If I still get a buzz, then I know it's the baffle that can't withstand with two or three screws that can't withstand the motion from the
speaker. Yeah. From
right.
The woofers. Pushing that air.
I mean, they freaking push. They push a lot. So on the keyboard side, which is my other main project, I am reprogramming every song in the laptop to trigger sounds from the new keyboard, which is good. Because I've kind of cracked the code. For the longest time, I was like, well, how do I get the computer to tell this thing what to do? What you need in Cakewalk is called instrument definitions. You need a file. You need a file from your instrument that gives instrument definitions. However, the Kronos is so massive that whenever I tried to transfer the instrument definitions, it said, you don't have enough memory to, you know, to receive this file. I'm like, holy crap, there's a terabyte in this thing. So what I ended up doing after a couple of different, after a week of frustration, saying, oh, I got a gig in a few weeks. I downloaded a editor/librarian, which is a program that you can use to program your keyboard from the computer.
Wow. Okay.
Once I did that and I opened the program, it started saying, okay, the program is communicating with your Chronos. And I was like, cool. And then there was like three buttons that had instrument definitions. And one of them was called Sonar, which is a cakewalk thing, which is the program that I use. So I clicked that, and it opened up the Windows Explorer to show me the instrument definition file on the laptop. And then I was like, yes. And I just had to remember where it was, located, what file it was located in the laptop. So then I opened up in the same computer, I opened up Cakewalk, and I opened up the thing that got me to the instrument definition files, and it said import, and it said, and then it opens the Windows Explorer, and then all I had to do was kind of navigate around until I could see that instrument definition file. The Korg Chronos has clearly 30 to 40 times more sounds in its internal memory than the
wow.
Triton LE that I had, which is why I was running out of memory trying to do it with, through Cakewalk. So in any case, I imported that instrument file. Now, it doesn't list the instrument names like the Triton did. It would tell me what the name of the file is. This just gives me a bank and then a number on that bank. Each bank is like 127 sounds in the bank. There is banks A through G in the internal memory, and then there's also A through G in the user memory, which is all
Jesus.
And each bank has 127 sounds. That's before I even get to drum sets. Now, the drum sets, this is the chink in the armor, okay? The drum sets in the Korg Chronos suck.
I mean
trash can suck. And it's sad, and the redeeming quality that the Chronos has is I can import drum sounds that I do like.
Right.
So basically I'm sticking with my 25-year-old Roland JV-1080 for drum sounds like I had right along. That's what I've been using right along. It's a two-space rack mount unit that all I use it for is drums. That is the only thing I've been using it for since I started doing a solo act, the drums. Because the drums, they even sounded better than the keyboard that I had before. So what I'm going to have to do is sample. I can download samples, for free drum sets and stuff like that. I can do that.
Right.
I can import samples, from the internet. And I can also sample live right into the unit drums. I don't know how to do any of that yet. But since, and you know, I even went on keyboard forums for the Kronos. You know what I mean? You type in, yeah. Say, all right, hey, anybody else feeling this? You know, stuff like that. Well, I got some responses on the thing because I was like, the hi-hat sounds like a trash can lid. You know, I want the light whispery, you know, not the, you know.
Yeah.
And then the snare drums, you know, every instrument for the past 30 years now has been produced with what's called general MIDI files.
Yeah.
So that I can download a general MIDI sequence and it will trigger the general MIDI files in the instrument. And like in general MIDI, there's 127 sounds. Number one is your acoustic piano. Number two is a bright acoustic piano. Number three is a honky-tonk acoustic piano. Number four is the electric piano. Number five is a different electric piano. Number six gets into clavinet. You know what I mean? So that everyone, that is a standard. Okay, that is an industry standard boilerplate. Every instrument has this sound at this number, 1 through 27.
Right.
Right up to number 127 is a gunshot sound.
Right.
Okay. So there is also general MIDI standard drum sets. And my feeling is, you should be able to use those drum sets right out of the box. It should be usable. But in the Kronos, the general MIDI drum set, the cymbals sound like trash can lids. No joke. Okay? The snare drum, when I hit the snare drum, it sounds like tank. It's like, my problem is they're all overprocessed, A. They're over-synthed, B. They're overthought, C. And they're unusable.
Right.
The internal, with all that stuff, I'm just amazed that the drum sets and the cymbals and stuff like that sound as terrible as they do. Because everything, all the different categories of drum sets are, for the most part, based on the samples that they have. They just EQ them differently. They just transpose them up or down, you know, to make, and then they'll call it a different drum set. You know, so they have all these drum sets, but just a few samples of those particular drums.
Right.
I just don't get it. I just didn't get it and don't get it, and I think I'm going to be, like I said, I'm going to be relegated to either sampling. I'll sample the drums out of the Roland because they're at least reliable and believable.
Yeah.
That's the only disappointment that I've had with this new keyboard is the drum sets.
Kind of minor, but yeah. Well,
I was hoping to be able to take that piece of gear out of my rack.
Right.
I have to leave it in now.
Yeah.
Still?
Well.
Feels like pain?
Strongly. That's one of your sons.
Yeah, that's Mitchell. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Well, I got my subwoofer in here that I've painted with truck bed liner on the outside, so he says it still smells like spray paint down here.
Oh. Gotcha.
At least it smells like some decent spray paint and not a crap spray paint.
By the way, the subwoofer doesn't work.
After all that.
I mean, it works, but there's like a hella buzz in it.
Could you do me a very important favor? Take all the fancy techie stuff out of here that costs money, and then take this and leave it outside, please.
Because of the spray paint smell?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Take a bottle of Febreze and just...
How about this? Don't come down here.
I can like avoid it. That is a primary path. And this smell infests.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, but I'm still going to complain about it.
All right. Good. Carry on.
Yeah. All righty. Well,
I've been dying to talk with you about this ever since I sent you them pictures, and then I tried to
figure
out, like,
yeah,
I was like, it just doesn't. I mean, it works. You know what I mean? It works fine, but on like four or five frequencies, there's like a wicked buzz, and it's not usable. I can't bring it out and use it like that. I need. You know, I have even EQ'd everything down to the lowest possible frequency that you know, I can. You know,
yeah.
On a channel, I got the bass turned all the way up. I've got everything else turned all the way down, you know. the amp itself, there's a DSP on it. I've got the high and the mid turned all the way down. I've got the bass turned all the way up. I've got the frequency crossover set at like 80. And it still is producing frequencies above what I thought it would.
Right.
And so turns out that amp that I got is actually a two-way amp. And I didn't realize it when I bought it.
Yeah.
I could put that into you know a regular two-way speaker and you know off races. But what I've done is I've taken the high, I coiled that wire up, taped it off, and just it's going to nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm just using the low frequency. Wires from the inside of the amp. So.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll get it.
One way or the other. I mean, there's still value in the cabinet. There's still, you know, it's still usable and it's still feasible. It's just. Like I said, I gotta work it. You know,
yeah.
now I'm down to different. In other words, I got the cabinet design pretty good.
Right, right.
So, I think what I'll do is before I glue anything, I will try some different. Variations on the baffle, on where to put the baffle, you know, maybe a little further forward, maybe a little further back, just to see if the tuning changes on the in the cabinet itself.
Gotcha.
Because one of those, because I've listened to those QSC subs, and it is nothing but it's pure thump. Pure thump, you know. It's EQ'd perfectly. It's the cabinet is tuned perfectly. I don't know what else to, you know, how else to get after it. But I maybe I'm an inch too far back with the baffle, you know, and the tuning is thrown off.
Right.
But then again, it might be the speakers, you know?
Yeah. No, take a little bit of experimenting, but I'm sure you'll get it.
Hopefully.
I'm sure you'll get it.
All right, Chief. Hey, listen, thanks for the book plugs tonight. I appreciate that.
No prob.
We'll make that happen if you do that. So that's fantastic. That's quite the commitment that you made tonight. I am gonna go and get that other book, because I think what I'm gonna do is read it and pass it off to somebody else. You know,
right.
Say, read the thing. Read the thing.
Yeah. I got you.
And if you're in a book buying mood, get that book too then.
Okay.
I saw it at Sam's and I had already put beer in the cart, so I didn't want to push my luck with a book.
That is understandable.
All right, Chief.
All right, Nat, I will talk to you later.
All right.
Have a good one. Tell the fam I said hi.
Will do. You too, please.
All right.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.